everybody. Welcome in to Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. I'm Russo, Paul to be exact. Next to me is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Felice, Nick to be exact. Nick, how you doing?
We're back on the desk.
Yeah.
I'm doing good, Paul. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Nate Sharman behind the scenes, as always, producing. Plenty to get to today. NFL action, pretty big weekend. A lot of different stuff going on. Big week for the lone New York team and then the New Jersey squads.
Yeah,
some people enjoy calling them, including myself.
The week started off great with that great Thursday night football game with the Commanders.
We don't need to talk about it.
Commanders getting the big win over the Bears.
I didn't really look at the stats until like just now, but how did the Bears exactly lose this game? Like, they're leading every category statistically.
Hey, it's just what good football teams do. They know how to win football games like that.
Fair enough. But yeah, a lot to get to NFL-wise. Syracuse, 6-0, bowl eligible. We'll touch on that, obviously.
Yeah, I got a couple things I want to discuss about that.
All right, fair enough. And then the biggest, well, maybe not the biggest exactly, but NBA preview. Season tips off tonight, Tuesday night. So plenty to get to with Knicks and Nets. And I have a little bit of a hot take.
No, I'll about your Heat?
No, but it's about the league as a whole.
Okay.
So we'll touch on that. I know, though, before we got on air, Nick, you asked a very fair question about NBA, because we are at the 20th season of LeBron James, which I know we have
been a long 20 years.
We have slightly differing opinions, even though I'm certainly am like leaning more towards what you kind of lean on with him a little bit. But 20th season, which does seem a bit crazy because to me, anyway, he's kind of like that first really big superstar that I've always like kind of remembered in a sport in a way. Him, obviously, Dwayne Wade is in that draft class, Melo, but
yeah.
It's kind of, I think, crazy when you actually put it in, like, audible, like, words that he is in his 20th year. So you brought up a good question, Nick. Vince Carter, how many seasons did Vince Carter play?
I'm going to go 21.
You're going 21. So, unfortunately, why does Basketball Reference have it broken down the way that they do? It's awful. 4, 6, 12, 12, 24? No way.
He was playing a long time, Paul.
I don't think I mathed that correctly, by the way.
Keep in mind, if Carmelo Anthony does find a team this year,
I think it's
it would
actually
be his
20th
season.
It's 22.
Too.
It's 22. I didn't take into account the times he got traded midseason twice. So 22.
For all you LeBron fans getting excited about his 20th season, if Carmelo finds a team, it would be his 20th season as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
right same now. Same with Darko Milicic.
Is he still playing somewhere?
I can look it up quickly as we open up our NFL discussion.
Because that'd be a hell of a career, man, if he's still playing.
Right. No, he's not. Darko is officially retired.
Probably like 2006.
Why did Darko retire? He retired from the NBA in 2013 and has since taken up a kickboxing career.
He played 10 years professionally,
though.
That's not bad.
It's not bad in America. Plus what he did internationally. So.
No, NBA careers, what is the average? Probably like 4 or 5 years, something like that?
Yeah, who knows.
For like, I mean, there's a lot of players that play that long.
Norris Cole. R.I.P. Even though he ain't dead.
He played well, though, when he played, too. So, but, yeah.
Sorry, I had to take a quick sip there. But,
that is.
Yeah, let's jump on into our NFL talk. Pretty good week. Like I said, for the New York squads across the board, Josh Allen and the Chiefs.
Get the revenge.
Versus the Chiefs. Got revenge. Yeah, no need for 13 seconds or less or anything like that. I'm sure Nate and the rest of Bill's Mafia is happy to put 13 seconds into the burner after our podcast gets out today. But
they do. I mean, it's a nice win, but it's like it's still in the back of their mind that they blew that game.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. But no, it's interesting this game because obviously that's the highlight, right? It's the hurdle of Josh Allen going for the touchdown, setting it up anyway, rather. But man, that defense certainly showed up in a big way when they needed it, too.
Well, since they got Von Miller on the team, the defense has definitely improved. So, you know, they played well again. I think it's an underrated part of this team because of how great that offense has been with Josh Allen. So, you know, it's they're just all around good football team right now. The key, you know, there's a lot of good football teams we've seen since we've been a fan of the NFL. Mm-hmm. A lot of good teams have great regular seasons, but they can't really. I mean, they're proving stuff, but they can't really prove anything until they start winning in the playoffs, make a Super Bowl, or, you know, win a Super Bowl, which would be crazy around here. So, so obviously, I think what we've learned through the first 6 weeks, this is a playoff team. It's just, you know, they're getting ready for something bigger. And their goal this regular season is to get that number one seed so they can get out of that first round. So, got a lot of work to do still.
Yeah,
big win.
I will say this, and this is something that I've been begging the Bills to do for the past couple of years, is hone in on a single running back. Think like they're finally doing that with Singletary.
Yeah,
which is nice. But
and I thought it was gonna be Zach Moss for all those years, but
yeah, he's been inactive the past couple of weeks. Yeah. So who knows? Your G-men. We need to talk about them. 5-1. I know, as you said, they're not on top of the division, but. It's safe to say that they have certainly cemented themselves at the top of the NFC so far.
Yeah,
or one of the teams at the top.
They have a pretty favorable schedule coming up, so
can't control who you face.
They put together a nice little streak here in these next games before Thanksgiving. That would give them like 8-9 wins, and that's a playoff team. I mean, they would only need a couple more to really guarantee their playoff spot. So I think they're going to make the playoffs this year, as crazy as that is, after the expectations coming in.
I don't think so.
But that man right there, Brian Daboll, is, I think, right now the front runner for Coach of the Year, even though the guy in his own stadium, Robert Saleh,
he's making a case
for that as well.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in a minute.
But the biggest difference with this Giant team this year, they've the second half adjustments is like it's a huge. So it's amazing. It's almost like a different football team that comes out in the second half, and they've come back a few times this season already. So that's huge to see, is that they're adjusting at halftime. And I think Danny Dimes needs to get a little bit of credit because Saquon Barkley's the one that's scoring these touchdowns for the game winners, but Daniel Jones is the one that's leading that drive down there. He's not putting up the great numbers, but you know, he's doing his job, and I think he's playing under the radar right now. So I think he's better than people think, obviously.
I think, again, another underrated part in this is, you know, we did touch on last week, but healthy Saquon, him being out there, you know, majority of the time, it's such a huge, I mean, it's a difference maker because it alleviates, obviously, Danny Dimes of being forced into doing some things that he's probably shouldn't really be doing. And I mean, I really do like how Saquon's kind of evolved in the passing game now as well at this point. I mean, obviously we kind of saw bits and pieces of it the past couple of years when he's been on the field, but this year kind of seeing him when they're able to kind of swing him out and get him going a little bit, it's quite the sight to behold.
I'm intrigued to see how they play. They got two games against the Eagles still. And it's because of the Giants' hot start and their comeback win that we are forgetting the headline that the Ravens blew another game.
No, and that was before I moved on. I didn't want to say, like, again, like we mentioned last week, the Ravens just can't close it out. Like, this is certainly a problem for them, a team that, at the very least, I know I was high on kind of entering the season. I figured, you know, really with everything kind of going on in the AFC North, it kind of would be kind of theirs to take, and they just haven't.
Yeah,
they haven't really grasped it. I mean, I still think I would pick them, but like it's one of those like
struggling.
They'd probably be gone that first weekend in November or January.
Yeah.
So you did mention
a lot of upsets this week.
Yeah, you did mention Robert Saleh and his Jets. The Jets moved to 4-2. They're undefeated on the road, by the way, which is pretty interesting.
What's that? 3-0.
3-0. But yeah, I know, and this is a fair conversation to have. I don't know how much of this are the Jets actually that good, or is it really the Packers just not being that good? At the end of the day, people, as I'll call them, really in that mainstream media market, keep wanting to talk about how Aaron Rodgers is that great and that great and that great, then I mean, certainly they got performed better, and he's got performed better. He's not looking the same out there, and I kind of called it. I mean, a couple years ago, like, I don't think he's that great anyway. But credit to the Jets because, you know, obviously offensively, I think we know what they do. But I mean, I think we're kind of overlooking that defense again with them. They were a defense last year that kind of had some sneaky good.
Robert Tonyan had 10 catches.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the Jets had a defense last year that was sneaky good, didn't get a ton of turnovers, but kind of held everybody in place when the offense allowed them to get a breather for more than a minute. And I think it's kind of paying dividends. And, you know, I don't know if Zach Wilson's fully the answer here for the Jets, but certainly they got the building blocks.
They got a very good defense.
At minimum, that
they got a very good defense.
Yeah. So. Interesting stuff in that game. Obviously, I know everybody's like, well, it was raining at Lambeau. I'm like, yeah, but if the Packers want to tote around the weather at Lambeau like they do every other time, then they have to eat it here.
Weird matchup. You don't usually see Jets-Packers.
Yeah.
But Breece Hall, mm-hmm. he's looking like a star running back. Yeah. So, I don't know. I know this because I played you in fantasies, but you had Zach Wilson as your starting quarterback. He didn't really do much.
My quarterback cycle in the Jerry 1 league is just horrendous. But luckily, Dak's back, so.
I thought he was going to put more points, especially because I didn't really see that game. But yeah. The Jets were pretty beating him pretty handily. Yeah. So must have been running the ball.
Didn't really need to, yeah. Before we kind of get out here and make our picks, I guess, for week 7, crazy. Do want to mention, and it's only because I think collectively as a unit here, and Nate, I want you to open up your mic. Let's all laugh at Tom Brady. I think we all deserve a nice laugh at Tom Brady. Nate, laugh with us, Nate. But
that's bad.
Sheesh. I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and really, I think, get into like the Giselle stuff because we all have different stuff, personal lives in that realm going on, and that can affect us, but you know, he's missing the Wednesday practices. This week he missed Friday and the Saturday walkthrough to go to apparently Robert Kraft's wedding. It's just I'm not a big fan of him going after his linemen the way that he did. I've never been a fan of it, to be honest with you, the way him and Rodgers are really similar in this way, kind of going after them the way that they do when they do it. How much is it on them when you yourself clearly aren't putting in the 100% effort? And I'm not saying that the line isn't doing that. Quite the opposite. The line's there day in, day out, and doing the best that they can. Mm-hmm. It's pretty apparent of that. I think this goes back to, you know, if you're going to retire, just retire. We kind of saw this with, you know, Brett Favre a little bit. Obviously, it was a little bit of a slightly different circumstance, I guess, the way he was kind of doing it. But, you know, when Favre came back those couple years, was he still good and still serviceable? Yeah. I mean, I think that's still, we can make that case for Brady. But, you know, that top line quarterback that we saw, you know, the 5 years prior to that point, nah, not even close.
I don't know if he's distracted or whatnot, but yeah. I think we saw this since last year in New England. I think we're finally seeing the end of Tom Brady being a above average quarterback.
For sure. I definitely agree with that. I don't want to really touch on the personal side of things because that's,
I mean,
you
he's
know,
only 50 years
life,
old.
But yeah, I mean, he's 45.
45.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a 45-year-old quarterback. You need to put his name, Tom Brady, aside. This is a 45-year-old quarterback.
The only other person that comes to mind when we were having probably discussions like this at any point in NFL history would be like a guy like Vinny Testaverde. And, I mean, obviously people were doing that to him then. And I'm with you. I don't know the difference at this point between the two.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. All right, let's move on and do some quick picks here for week.
We got a good one this Thursday?
Slightly better than last week, I'll call it.
What about the week before that? Denver. Is Denver, please tell me the Broncos are not on prime time this week.
I don't think they are. I think we steer clear of the Broncos. We do steer clear of the Broncos this week on prime time. So Thursday night football, 8:15 kickoff. the New Orleans Saints go to Arizona to face the Cardinals, recently acquiring Robbie Anderson.
Big pickup.
You know, the Cardinals are a very confusing team.
And we got the Saints on our parlay.
Should be better.
Well, right now, there's a single bet. But.
Should be better than what they are, but clearly aren't.
Also, let me show you guys my picks that you guys are going through.
Okay.
All right.
God. I'd go Cardinals, I think. I'm not a fan of it. But.
Why, Paul?
Are the Saints actually that good either? Like, I don't know. These are two very two very confusing teams.
The over-under is 45. I like the under in this game. And but, not to say, it is at Arizona. So Kyler Murray could get hot with some points at the end of this game. But, no, I like the Saints in this game because I think they're better.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're both very confident in our picks here so far.
That's clearly. Expert analysis right there.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. When we're very they're better.
When we're very confused about the teams and how they've played so far. 1 p.m., the Giants at the Jaguars.
Plus three? Come on. I saw they gave them like a 27% chance to win this game. It's the Jaguars.
Yeah.
It'll always be the Jaguars.
If the Jags played better against Indy, even like obviously win would be a different story, but even kind of played better, it wasn't their cleanest game in the world that they had. I'd probably would lean Jaguars here, to be honest, but it's hard to stop a train when it's going down the tracks. Nate, give me the G-men.
You going money line like Nate?
I don't know what Nate's. Yeah, Nate's just picking stuff all over the joint.
I like money line as well. I'm taking the G-men.
Nate, you're my type of better, by the way, with this going on right now.
Let's see what kind of odds I can generate here at the end of this.
Oh, yep. God. what's the next one up there for you? All right, Buccaneers and Panthers. This one in Charlotte.
That's a lot of points, especially for a Buccaneers team that hasn't been playing too great. I like the Bucs, but I like the +10 Panthers.
I was about to say, the points there, I will gladly take the P.J. Walker, Charlotte, or Carolina Panthers squad. But
did you see the P.J. Walker stat from last week?
No.
He completed one pass ahead of the line of scrimmage.
Well,
it's a good stat right there.
Stats that matter.
It's not zero.
Hashtag sabermetrics. But I'm going to go Bucs straight up on that. The Falcons at the Bungles. The Falcons playing a little bit better football than I at least credit them for. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I like them on the road this week. I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Joe Burrow and them boys.
I probably haven't taken the Falcons once this year, but they've been playing pretty well. Mm.
All right, the Green Bay Packers head to Landover, Maryland to take on the Commandos.
Wow. They're playing another New York or your team. So
what?
I thought they were playing the division, but they put the Jets. It was a New York team. But I like the Commanders. I think the Packers are in shambles. So,
and what would that make the Commanders?
I like the Commanders, man. I think, you know, Carson Wentz, Scary Terry, Tonio Gibson, you know, not a bad little team, especially at home.
Packers.
This is your game, too. You hate the Packers.
Yeah, but, I mean, I refuse to take the Commanders until proven otherwise.
Oh, last week they didn't prove them.
No, they didn't. They did not prove themselves. Where are we? I think we scrolled by one and all in honesty there. Yep, Cleveland at the Ravens.
Cleveland at the Ravens.
Battle of the Art Modells.
I like Cleveland until the Ravens can prove me they can close out a game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do like the Browns getting the points, but straight up I'm taking Baltimore. Definitely a backdoor cover situation. It's at 6.5 right now, so who knows? All right, Detroit and Dallas, a battle of who actually owns Thanksgiving going on here. Allegedly, Dak Prescott's going to be back and playing this game. I'm going to take Dallas here, but kind of the same situation here. I think I would take probably Detroit with the points, but Dallas straight up.
I like the 12:30 game on Thanksgiving better than the 4 o'clock game, so I'm taking the Lions.
All right.
sticking your line in the sand on that one, eh? Colts at the Titans, really interesting battle here. I'm going to go, though, with the momentum here. Give me the Colts.
I like the Titans. I think Derrick Henry's going to have a breakout game off the bye. Give me the Titans.
All right. We move to the 4 o'clock window. 4:05, Jets at the Broncos.
I hate the Broncos. They're so bad. They're so bad. They need to stop putting them on TV. Even though they've been playing like close games on national TV the last 2 weeks, but it's just Russell Wilson's washed. Give me the Jets.
I'm with you. Give me the Jets. The J-Men.
Yeah, the J-Men.
Texans at the Raiders. This has potential to be ugly, but I'm going to go Raiders here.
This isn't your getting the big screen at the bars around the country here, this game. But taking the Raiders?
Mm-hmm.
But I like the Texans with the points. I do.
They are the kings of the backdoor cover.
Really?
Yeah.
Taking Raiders.
All right. But I like the Texans here. They're the
I like the Texans with the points. +7.
Fair enough.
I like the Raiders in the game.
4:25, Chiefs at the 49ers.
What's up with the 49ers, man?
I don't know.
They got Jimmy G back. They got their starter back. But I like the Chiefs in a bounce back one.
Yeah, same. Chiefs. Give me the Chiefs. Patty Mahomes. The other 4:25 game, the Seahawks. Who would have thought?
The first place Seahawks.
Against the Chargers.
Chargers haven't been playing great either. I like that Seahawks +6.5, but I'm going to take Chargers at home. Even though they're home, they don't really have a great home field.
You don't own the stock that I've owned since 2012 for you to just kind of fold and sell off when it's just you feel like you got to. Give me Geno Smith and the Seahawks.
The G-Man.
The Geno-Man. the Seahawks are playing some type of way. Makes you wonder.
Yeah. What is this Sunday night game? What am I watching? What am I looking at here?
It's the Sunday night game. I feel like you're asking a question that might be a lot of people asking a similar one.
The return of Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, come 8:20. It's Pittsburgh at the Fins.
Is Tua coming back?
Yes.
Well, this is a rematch of the last time the Dolphins made the playoffs. They played the Steelers with Matt Moore as the quarterback.
Let us not forget.
If Tua's back, I'm taking the Dolphins.
I'm taking the fish as well. And then Monday night this week, Bears.
Let's put the Bears back.
Bears
on
at
TV.
The Patriots.
Patriots have been playing well. They really have. I like the Patriots big.
I'm taking the Patriots. Yeah, Patriots.
Okay. Let's go try again next week and not put the Bears or Broncos on prime time.
Your bye teams this week, the Bills, Rams, Vikings, and Eagles. So, for fantasy owners, beware. All right, let's move over to the college football scene. Big week for
at the game. How was it?
Use, baby. 6-0 was electric in the dome.
I don't know how I feel about the noon game this week.
Was saying that that's probably, in all honesty, the most electric I've been in an event there.
Yeah.
The way it was vibing. The 24-9 victory was very good. Very good. And I know what people can say, but you play your opponent that you're out there. That quarterback, the backup quarterback for NC State, Chambers, is pretty good. I know he doesn't throw the ball well, but very mobile, was able to create and make some time when he was on the move, so that was huge for them. Me and Nate were at the game together. Can't ignore him. Shout out to Nate because he was the one who got us inside a suite, so can't complain about that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Really great stuff. Obviously, the big thing now is bowl bound already, 6-0.
I got something to say about
sure,
that.
Sure, okay.
I got something to say about that. You're 6-0, right. First time since 1987.
Yep.
And you're putting it up on the big screen that you're bowl bound. Hey, when you're 6-0, the expectations have changed, man. Do not put up bowl bound. The bowl bound is just, okay, we're going to play in a bowl. Do not put that up on the big screen and One other thing I got to say about that game is, what are your thoughts of storming the field?
Loved it.
I don't like it. 6-0 once again. One of the best teams in the country. You're not,
why can't you just storm have fun?
You know, college basketball, when, you know, a ranked team beats a ranked team, you don't really see storming the court on there. That's usually when it's a big upset. I think Syracuse fans need to wake up and realize they are the 14th best team in the country.
We are now.
The 14th best team in the country does not storm the field or puts up on the big screen your bowl bomb. This is. They have different aspirations now.
You just not have fun.
They are trying to win a national championship, trying to bring back the national crown to Syracuse, New York. And they got a big game this week against Clemson and bowl bomb. Ugh. It's just all about that bowl. It irks me. But
it was great.
It is going to be a tough one this week.
You hate us because you ain't us.
Well, we played a good game against Stanford. So,
well, that's not the game we need to discuss. We need to definitely bring up, though.
That was bad.
Alabama, Tennessee. Speaking of storming the field.
Well, that should not be storming the field either. But man, was that a scene, though.
Can you imagine? You're a police officer or some sort of guardian of the peace in Knoxville, Tennessee, and you see a sea of drunken 18-year-olds coming at you with a goalpost.
I know. How did they get
through
it?
Through the streets.
How did they get it outside the stadium?
That was great. Pat, who's been, my brother Pat, who obviously has been on the show before, brought up, like, I don't understand why they just didn't, like, stop him. Like, yeah, because that would be smart, having hundreds of drunk people at that point turn that goalpost into a metal battering ram coming at
you.
Is
it just the stick part?
They had the crossbar, they had the post, they had
everything. They broke it up into pieces to get it out of the stadium.
It was incredible, and they threw it into the Tennessee River. And now Tennessee's crowdsourcing to get a new field goal post for the game this weekend, even though this is an insider information. I saw this last week. I think people forgot about it. Even though they already had a whole new goalpost system bought and ready to go to be replaced.
They just took one, not the other?
They took both.
Oh, they did take
one. I don't know what happened to the one. I know the one ended up in the Tennessee River. I don't know where the other one is. I can't speak to the whereabouts of the second goal of the second field goal post.
You'll have to check in on the next episode of Fanville.
I guess. Yeah, Notre Dame, Nick, what happened?
Terrible. Just absolutely terrible. Only 14 points.
But we saw some numerical upsets as well. You know, Utah beat USC, TCU beat Oklahoma State.
Michigan seems like the one of the better teams in the Big Ten.
Kentucky beat Mississippi State, you know.
Not to get off topic, but it's sort of topic. Did you see Jim Boeheim making fun of the Big Ten the other day?
Yeah, so it was tremendous. I loved it. It's about time. Loved every minute of it.
It's about time.
Yeah, Clemson hosting Cuse this week. 14 Syracuse at 5 Clemson.
Excited.
Yeah, I mean, this is what's positive is the line has moved already. I know Clemson opened as a 14-point favorite. It's down to 13.5 already. I'm cautiously optimistic about this week. I'm tampering my expectations to a degree.
I will be rooting for him,
but I'm being honest with you. This is, if you expect a big offensive game from either team, you're going to be wrong. Both these teams have what I call very constipated offenses. Just as an example, you probably would think, well, Clemson probably leads all offensive statistical categories. And like, no, the DJ Ukulele is, you know, leading the passing stats. But I mean, other than that, you know, Sean Tucker has the rushing lead and Gadsden has the receiving lead for individuals going into this game. Yep. So I don't know what to tell people here. I think it's going to be really close.
It's just like one of those games.
Like I said, I tamper my expectations. So I think Cuse could win. Absolutely. Clemson will win. But Cuse is going to win. So
it's just one of those games where it's like, You're just gonna watch it, and you know it's just like you have absolutely no idea what type of game
this game has all the potential of being, to be honest with everybody, like a sicko game. Just the way that these teams play, like Clemson got taken to the wire with Florida State again last week. Well, de facto way to the wire by Florida State last week. This is probably, to be honest, the worst
Clemson team, oh, this kind of like peak Dabo run the past few years. And that's not, I don't know if it's not saying a lot or saying everything. I mean, they're still fifth in the country. They're 7-0 and 5-0 in the ACC. Yep. So, like, don't get me wrong, they're still Clemson, but I mean, I think the door's open. Definitely think the door's open.
I'm just, if they win this game, obviously they'll jump into the top 10. I knew they were going to do that if they got to 7-0, but man, next week's game, you won't be there. Neither will I. With all the Notre Dame fans everywhere. And
I would say there's an outside chance for me at this point, but more than likely not.
I'm just saying, the environment at that dome, if they win this game, is going to be nuts next week.
It will be palpable.
Oh, my God. Even if Notre Dame's, even with Notre Dame being 500 right now, mm-hmm. so it'd still be great. It'd be a great environment there. But also, if they win this game, you got to start thinking, man, they can run the tables and get to the college football playoff.
I don't know about that exactly, but I will say this. I saw, I believe Brett McMurphy put out, yeah, it was McMurphy, great college football insider, put out his all-too-early bowl predictions for in-season stuff, and Syracuse at the moment projected to play Ole Miss in the Orange Bowl.
Wow.
So,
and that's their bowl.
That would be something.
The Orange in the Orange Bowl.
Obviously, that would be a bowl game I wouldn't be able to attend, in theory, but...
Yeah. Will they still pass it up and play in the Pinstripe?
I mean, anything's possible for the Pinstripe Bowl.
Speaking of pinstripes.
The Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl.
Yankees winning tonight?
I sure as hell hope. UCLA
play tonight.
Yeah, yeah. 4:00. UCLA Oregon this week. That's where game day is. It's an interesting week. Mississippi State's at Alabama. And Kansas State is at TCU. That's really the major ranked games this week. I guess Texas at Oklahoma State's ranked versus ranked, but, I mean, horns down. So, yeah, should be an interesting, fun week of college football again. It's,
well, maybe 7-0.
No, but yes. Absolutely, Syracuse will be 7-0.
What sucks is they play in Clemson's division, yeah. So they never really get a shot at the ACC title game. So
yeah. All right, let's before we head out of here, let's preview some NBA season tips off tonight. Just a couple games, but I mean, obviously it's kind of
the 76th season of the NBA.
Yeah, and it leads off with the Sixers at the Celtics, and then Lakers at the Warriors. So well, see what you did there.
I did not.
But,
mean that.
It should be interesting. Let's start, in my mind, with the broader discussion here, because this is where my hot take lies. I really do believe that the NBA is pretty wide open this year. I know a lot of people disagree, and I understand, right? I still kind of think a little bit like it's probably going to be the Warriors, at the very least. But, you know, personally for me, I think it's going to be pretty wide open. I don't know how you feel about it. But I think, if anything, the past couple of years has really shown.
Is that the Clippers?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I think that's relying on a healthy Paul George and Kawhi the whole year.
You've got to be out of your mind.
I don't know about that.
The Clippers won the NBA championship.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you feel. I know we'll obviously touch on your Knicks here in a second and also the other New York squad, the Nets. But, I think if you're one of these, you know, top teams, I think everybody's at a pretty even playing field this year.
Yeah, I agree with you with, which is crazy to think that I would say this about the NBA. It is wide open this year because the in quote super teams aren't really that great.
Right.
Like the Lakers, they finished in 500 this year? I don't think so. The Nets. What's the deal with KD and Kyrie and Simmons? You know, it's a bunch of question marks with that team. And then there's the Warriors, obviously, just a great run organization. Obviously, a little bit of conflicts going on in the preseason. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're just, that's what makes them so great. They pass the ball well, and they're a really good team. And obviously, I would put them as the favorite. I would never put the Sixers or the Celtics as the favorite, just because. I don't know if they have enough to win it all. Obviously, the Celtics, I think, are better than the Sixers because James Harden is a playoff loser, just like Russell Westbrook. So obviously, I think the Celtics are. I don't care who the coach is of the Celtics. Mm-hmm. They're a couple steps ahead of the Sixers. So then there's your Heat. There's always your Heat. You know, the one and the only bubble runner up, Miami Heat.
What's that about, dog?
The bubble. But you know, other than that bubble season, they've been, you know, kind of a playoff exit before the finals. So, you know, they're a playoff team. I don't know how you're feeling about them this year.
Oh yeah,
I mean they're there. The Bulls are there. You know, I think the Bulls might take a step back, even though Billy Donovan is a great coach. I think he's a top five coach in the league. And but I hate being so biased on this show, but it's just like I like the Knicks this year, man. I really do. They finally got a point guard. It's
so
not,
here's the thing.
Not Alec Burks.
Here's the thing with the Jesus. Here's the thing with the Knicks.
Yeah,
you can't let Brunson be your marquee signing. It's not a knock on Brunson. He's good, but
I think
he's not going to elevate you in the way that you think you're going to get elevated.
I think he's a difference maker, man. He's a winner. Won a couple national championships at Villanova.
Here's the thing with the Knicks. You want to know what a successful season for them is going to be this year?
Probably over 500.
You make it at least to the play-in.
Yes. We don't play no play-on. The thing about my Knicks, we were the number 4 seed in the Eastern Conference just 2 seasons ago with Alfred Payton as the point guard. Obviously, defensively, we went down a little bit when we brought in Kemba and Evan Fournier, and we got rid of Bullock and Payton, who were more defensive players. So hopefully we can get back to that with Brunson there. I don't know. This will be like the craziest stat with the Knicks. Is this like the 20-something, I don't know what it is. It's like the 25th straight season they've had a different starting point guard on opening night.
Yeah.
That's one of the craziest stats I'll ever see. And obviously, it's going to continue this year. I would hope it changes next year with Brunson still there. But, you know, I don't know. They finally have a point. That's the first point guard I've ever been, like, kind of confident since Raymond Felton when they went to the Eastern Conference semifinals with Melo.
I want to run the tape back because I feel like you were saying the same thing about Kemba.
Run the tape back. I definitely liked Kemba last year.
The other team in New York, in theory, should finish better than the Knicks is the Nets. But a lot of question marks surrounding that team. I've said this to a couple people. First time we'll say it all out. This is like the only year of this window, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think if KD/Kyrie don't go, then they're going to force Nash to go,
yep,
or vice versa. I don't even know if this thing lasts the whole year. I'm not convinced of it. I know, you know, they're sticking to each other's backs and blah, 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 but, I mean, the amount of shenanigans on this team is just stupid high.
It's like getting in a fight with your friend or whatever, and you just, like, you shake it off, and you think, like, it's not a problem anymore. It still happened. Like, Kevin Durant publicly came out and said he wants the GM, and he wants Steve Nash fired. That happened. People cannot forget about that, even though he's moved on, he's ready to play for the Nets.
After they were the handpicked one, well, Nash was handpicked by KD and Kyrie.
Yes. So, that could come down, come play, you know, it's a factor if they start losing some games. So they're a very interesting team to watch this year. Obviously, I will not be rooting for them because they will never be New York because more people care about Jalen Brunson right now than they do Kevin Durant. Yeah. So,
yeah, interesting stuff there. Prediction time, I guess, here in a way. Yeah. Like I said, it's wide open. I don't know. The East might be kind of whoever just kind of survives themselves out the longest. I know for the past few years we've really been riding, like, right, the West is where all the talent is and blah, blah, blah. It's slowly shifting itself back East the way it kind of usually does, you know, every couple of years or so, where they kind of just go back and forth between each other every now and then.
you know, I feel like it's a dark horse team here that everybody's kind of picking. I'd keep an eye on Cleveland to kind of do whatever. Do I think they win the title? No. But I, you know, that's a team that, you know, I know everybody's kind of picking as that dark horse, but hard not to given the pieces that they have. I think out east,
when healthy, it's the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, when healthy, it's them. It's not even close. But, you know, Middleton's going to miss the start of the year. Sounds like it might just be the first couple weeks. Could be the first month. And that's a tough spot. But I think if, you know, we get to April and they're firing on all cylinders, I mean, that's just – that's a tough train to stop downhill. Yeah. So I am – I think we're in agreement at least in the east there.
When healthy. We saw if they lost Middleton. Yeah. They're downhill. Yeah. Imagine if they lost the Greek Freak.
Well, let alone that, I don't even know if you lose a Greek Freak, it's maybe necessarily bad in that sense, but you lose a guy like Drew Holiday, too, at that point. I mean, at that point, it's really a one-sided affair where it's it's like it would be just Giannis. And that. And look, any superstar, it's tough when you're just solo like that at that point. Yeah. So, out west, I think it's a bit of a grab bag among a couple different teams. I mean, is this year the year that the Nuggets finally kind of get over the hump? we know where you stand on that. You know, how
the Nuggets will never win anything.
How does Dallas kind of fare in this? do we actually see improvement out of the alleged Lakers?
No.
You know, you mentioned the Clippers. The Timberwolves are obviously improved.
Yes.
Got
Gobert now.
You know, I'm not buying into the Suns exactly. There's a lot of just uncertainty surrounding them.
You forget how good they were last year.
But, you know, the whole entire DeAndre Ayton stuff, let alone their owner Sarver and his pending sale of the team because of his own demise.
Will Zion play more games this year?
Yeah. I think I'll just I don't know if it's so much the darling pick. I'll go Dallas here.
Interesting.
I think Luka.
They just lost their backup.
Yeah, I think Luka kind of takes a jump again this year and kind of really he goes into it. Has looked good in preseason.
Has he lost weight?
He looked pretty much the same as he did at the end of last year, so he doesn't look like a thick boy coming into preseason or coming out of the preseason. So I'll take Dallas. I'll go Dallas versus the Bucks in the finals.
We're back in that situation for me at least. It's the Warriors until proven otherwise.
I don't blame you there. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's wide open to me, but, like, it should really, in theory, still probably be Golden State to lose.
Yeah. But looking forward to it for at least the first few months. After the new year, let me know if I'm still watching Knicks games. But,
classic Knicks fandom coming out on that front.
I usually make it to, like, February, but but I think I'm going to be watching until June.
Yeah. Well, it's the never-ending sport sometimes, it feels like, so.
But people forget hockey's longer. It is longer.
Sure. All right, that will take care of Fresh Take Sport today. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Nick, who are you shouting out?
It's my brother's birthday on Monday, so I'm going to shout out my brother, Matt. Happy birthday. The big 2-9.
Yeah. We're getting old.
Yeah. One more to 30, so.
Happy born day to Matt.
Shout out.
All right, everybody, thanks again for tuning in. If you can't watch us live here on YouTube, catch up anytime there. Anchor, Spotify, a couple of our major podcasts and platforms. We'll be back at it again next Tuesday. Appreciate Nate Sharman behind the scenes producing. We'll talk to everybody next week. Have an awesome week, everybody.